This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live, and you can dial toll-free here at 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have Skype, so Skype on in to join us here at Skype username lrn.fm. Joining you in our studio here tonight, you've got Ian.
Imeyamo Janssen.
And Mark.
We're going straight to your phone calls and thoughts. And then coming up, Johnson, you'll be telling us about... Actually, you had something about libertarians should run for governor.
And yeah, I would prefer to. And I don't know if we... You know, we kind of discussed whether or not this is too technical or not. We talked briefly that we were going to talk about it last week. But I really think it's important that we talk about the EFF leaving the W3C.
We never got into that?
We never got into that. No, we did not. And I think it's really important to discuss.
Yeah, sure. Well, we can talk about that. That's fine. So let's go first, though, to Josh in Canada. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Josh.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Hey. What's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to bring up an issue. I don't know if you guys had heard about the international trade dispute between Boeing and Bombardier.
No, are these both, is Bombardier also a manufacturer of airplane parts and airplanes and such?
Exactly. It's a Canadian company up here in Canada, in Quebec, and they also manufacture planes. And recently they faced some allegations from Boeing that they were dumping some planes into the American market, essentially because the reason that I find this so interesting is because Bombardier is a subsidized Canadian company, so they receive a lot of money from Canadian government.
And Boeing is basically a subsidized American company because they receive likely a lot of money from the American government.
But they are saying that because of the subsidies from the Canadian government that they're able to sell their new C-3 plane to Delta Airlines for about $20 million less than they surmise is the cost.
Yeah, this is one of the difficulties when you're talking about these major sort of industries. Governments tend to subsidize them, and that perverts the marketplace. So, for instance, if there's two major cities that are currently looking at a major football team, one city says, well, we'll give you a $30 million sports complex. The other city says, we believe in the free market, and you should have to compete. I wonder where the football team's going to go.
Right.
Exactly. Well, the interesting thing about this is there's actually a decision that was made by the U.S. government today that they're actually going to levy a 220% tax onto these airplanes.
So if they're importing these things from Canada, a 220% tax will be levied on them, which, of course, will go to the government.
Yeah, and that's to make up. It's a countervalence.
We're going to make Canada
levy, right?
Pay for the wall.
No wall between Canada and U.S., please.
Not yet.
And then we're going to use the planes that we build to fly over the wall.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting, especially because Boeing itself doesn't actually have any planes that they build that compete with this class of aircraft. They're no longer in that market. They just basically wanted to ruin the plans of these cheap aircraft.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that tonight, Josh. I appreciate hearing from you. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom, 855-450-3733.
Speaking of cheap aircraft, I read a headline today that Dubai is, there's some sort of plans, it doesn't seem like it's very well fleshed out yet, but that Dubai is planning to be the first city in the world to have flying taxis.
Wow. Yeah. It's like something out of The Fifth Element.
Or Blade Runner.
That's coming back out again, I hear. They're doing a Blade Runner remake. I also heard today a rumor. I have not seen it online yet. I haven't looked for it. I literally just got back home moments before we started the show. But I heard that James Cameron's supposed to come back for another Terminator.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know if it's true. It's just what two people told it to me, so I suspect that it,
awesome.
It could be true. Anyway, so you wanted to talk about the W3C. You said this is very important. I could have sworn maybe it was on a Friday night show. Maybe Chris Wade had mentioned it. But regardless, I haven't been on the show for like more than a week up until the last few nights because I've been working to clean out the future mosque over most of the past week, so I've been pretty disconnected. But I remember seeing headlines about this. W3C is the consortium of companies that comes together and agrees on web standards, right? They're the ones who came up with, say, HTML5, the fifth
right.
set of standards yeah. for the programming languages of the web.
Basically, browsers and web developers all base them, their, you know, building of websites and web browsers off of these standards.
Correct.
And so it's essentially the W3C is extremely influential over most of the what most people consider the internet, which is the World Wide Web.
Okay.
So
what's happening now?
Okay, so well, Cory, I'm sure you're familiar with Cory Doctorow.
Yeah, we actually had him on the show years ago, probably like a decade ago.
Well, Cory Doctorow is who penned this letter, as you know, I think he's one of the I don't know if he's the CEO or if he's the, you know, basically head of the EFF.
He is, like, one of the influential top guys.
Probably on the board.
Yep. So he has written an open letter to W3C director, CEO, team, and membership. And so I'd love to cover this letter. And we
it gets a little technical, so you're going to have to stop down and explain.
Stop down for sure. Dear Jeff, Tim, and colleagues, in 2013, and Tim is probably Tim Berners-Lee, who's considered, widely considered the inventor of the World Wide Web.
Okay.
In 2013, EFF was disappointed to learn that the W3C had taken on the project of standardizing encrypted media extensions, an API, that's an application programming interface, which people can use to connect to these encrypted media extensions, an API whose sole function was to provide a first-class role for DRM,
Digital rights management.
It's a digital way of encryption. Well, not necessarily.
Meaning a company puts this DRM stuff on their content, on their media content, and that
restricts
who can watch it.
Yep.
Or listen to it.
Yep.
Or share it.
Yep. An API whose sole function was to provide a first-class role for DRM within the web browser ecosystem. By doing so, the organization offered use of its patent pool, its staff support, and its moral authority to the idea that browsers can and should be designed to cede control over key aspects from users to remote parties. So this is the huge crux of the argument. There's a lot of really fake news going on about this, which is to talk about, like, oh, the EFF is just anti-corporate involvement and all this stuff. The core of the argument that needs to be really focused on here is the fact that the web has always been, in a way, open, right? So you've got this, you know, you've got an open platform, and you can pick and choose, like, what you want to support. You can add certain things or not add certain things to your web browser, and there's these open standards. Well, this...
Hold on, let me see if I can ask a question to clarify
sure.
this or maybe restate what it is you're saying. So like the HTML5 standard, which is now
right.
the current standard for web programs,
right.
you know, the websites we see, HTML is the code that's behind that.
Right.
That is an open standard, meaning that you don't have to license,
right.
You don't have to pay a licensing fee to write in that
right.
particular language. You just, there's these standards, you can write based on these standards, and these browsers that support these standards will properly display the thing that you write.
Exactly. Yep. Absolutely. And what this is saying with this, you know, extended encrypted media extensions is it's essentially saying that, browsers, right, should be, you know, the W3C is giving moral authority for browsers that they should be designed to give over control to this third-party, proprietary encryption DRM algorithm that's closed. That's code that no one is going to see. And they're saying now, the W3 is saying now that this should be included in all browsers, which means that anyone who is using a web browser no longer has control of their computer because you don't know what's in these extensions.
Yeah, so what could that, I mean, right, so what could this allow, in theory,
anything.
Somebody to do to
you
your
have
computer?
No idea what's in this. You can't know because it's this is, they're authorizing this.
So normally on a website, you can look at the code, right? So if you load up freetalklive.com and you want to know what makes the site tick and you have the ability to read that HTML code, you can go in on a lot of web browsers and there's a way to actually view what that code is. You're saying that this encrypted stuff, you wouldn't have any idea. Like, you would see that,
there's going to be these encrypted media DRM plugins and,
the equivalent of blacked out, right?
Right,
like you wouldn't be able to know what code is being run on your own computer.
And what's also interesting is that there's no way that this can really work because...
Hold that thought. Continue. This is Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE.
The young lady from the rescue delivered happy, and I panicked. He was missing hair, stinky, scabby, and I thought, what did I get us into? The cause of his issue was poor nutrition. It was neglect. The other owners didn't care enough about him to give him the nutrition he needed, but I have a vet that I trust, and she recommended Dinovite.
DinoVite.com.
I ordered the first 90-day supply, and within a couple weeks, his skin started clearing out. He didn't smell. He had more energy. He just had a glow and a bounce about him. We've been using Dinovite for the last year, and Happy the rescue dog is Happy the healthy dog. I tell all my friends who have rescues to give their dog the chance at a new start with Dinovite. It's going to pay off for you and your dog for years to come.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000. Dinovite.com.
I got my Blink Home security system delivered right to my door. I downloaded the app, and it walked me right through the easy setup. Even with my complicated router system, I was done in like 10 minutes. Now it notifies me whenever something moves in front of the wireless cameras, or I can just check it whenever I want right from my phone. And I got you a deal. Get 3 Blink cams for what the other guys charge you for one, plus an extra 10% off. Visit blinkprotect.com/FTL. Blinkprotect.com/FTL. Blinkprotect.com/FTL.
Do you want to help build a better financial system for everyone? Join Dash. Dash is digital cash, a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast and easy, fees are low, and transactions are confirmed instantly. Dash is decentralized, run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Dash is set up to succeed where other platforms have failed. Give it a try at Dash.org. Help people take control over their financial future today. Find out more at Dash.org.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live, and of course you're invited to join us on the radio waves. bring up anything that you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. More about the standards of the World Wide Web. Are they shifting from the historic open standards to a new, now secretive standard? That's what Johnson's right. telling us about. We're going to get into that because it's not looking good. The Electronic Frontier Foundation having pulled out of the W3C, the standards organization, in protest. And Johnson is sharing that protest letter that they wrote. But first, Mark, tell me about the Bullet Blocker.
Well, Bullet Blocker is a company that creates garments and bags that are bulletproof. So they were a company that was started by a firearms instructor and former Army Ranger with the intention of making backpacks for kids to protect them in case of a school shooting. Well, you know, demand rose, and they began making backpacks for lots of people, briefcases, then coats and jackets. And, well, they're all made here right in the United States. They're made of the most lightest and most flexible and thinnest ballistic available in the market today. They're airport security friendly. They're attractive, and you got to have a nice jacket. You might as well get one that stops bullets, too. Get something for the whole family. This isn't the kind of thing you get a second chance at. Bulletblocker.com. If the lives in your family are priceless, protect them at bulletblocker.com. It's worth a look. Go to bulletblocker.com and take a look at these garments. Bulletblocker.com.
All right, our toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Maybe you want to weigh in on the W3C, a set of letters that the average person is probably not familiar with. It stands for World Wide Web Consortium. This is a group of corporations. It's a group of, interest groups like formerly the Electronic Frontier Foundation. They have now resigned in protest over the latest decision by the W3C, as I understand it, to approve a set of encryption standards mm-hmm. to basically give their blessing to the idea of that corporations should have the ability to run secretive code on your computer doing who knows what within your browser.
Right, and it's taking control away from the users and giving it away to remote whoever, you know?
Well, I mean, in theory, right? Like, if you're on a website, the average user doesn't have control over the website, right? Like, the website has its code.
That's not necessarily true. I mean, there's a lot of extensions where you can have things where you can change things about a website. And
that's true. If you have certain extensions, there's mm-hmm. a lot more that you can restrict about right. what a website does to you. Right. But normally there's, you know, trackers and cookies, and there's, you know, all these things that websites can do that some users don't want their browsers to do. So there's like a new browser called the Brave browser that supposedly does like low level restrictions of these behind the scenes unwanted things. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you can have more control if you want to, but the average user doesn't. I mean, they don't take the time to learn about this stuff. How does the average person look at this story and say, wow, that matters to me? Because I get what you're saying, and I think we've done an okay job of kind of explaining the difference of, like, standards used to be open. Now these standards are going to allow for secrecy within web programming.
Well, and here's the thing. This is the thing that it concerns me more. When you have a group as large as the EFF leaving the World Wide Web Consortium, right, which has been basically you've had these unified standards for which the World Wide Web should be for 20 plus years at mm-hmm. this point, you know, almost 25 years, right? So that stopping and changing, and now that you have this group leaving, we could have, you know, a new standards consortium or multiple standards come up. And then,
two bitcoins, two web standards.
Well, then browsers aren't going to agree. And then we're back to the days of, you know, IE being, you know, like, remember
Internet Explorer?
Back these days with, different browsers all following different protocols and things just...
Which means the website will look different.
Terrible, look different, and you just start getting into this, you know, complete mess.
Yeah, you program for one browser because it's the majority, but you leave the other ones out.
So it just starts raising costs for the web, you know, like, and if costs go up for the web, then, you know, how do these sites, you know, live without, you know, especially with advertising on the web, it becomes so difficult. You know, it's already difficult to, you know, get money.
Is there a big exodus? I mean, you said EFF, and there's more to the letter. I think you were going to share more, but has there been an exodus since EFF left? Have other groups said, we're going to, see you later?
It's been pretty pretty recent, so, you know, who knows? And, you know, it might take
a while. News you're reading is like, a week and a half old at this point.
Yeah, and so, you know, we might see more people leave, but, I mean, I know, for example, Mozilla, which is, they've been
the
very
Firefox company.
Yeah, the Firefox company. They've been very pro-freedom and very pro-openness, and they had their own statement about how they begrudgingly have accepted this, and the reason why... The reason why some of these groups have accepted this, and this is a really poor excuse in my estimation, is that, well, if we don't allow for this, you know, these extended, these encrypted media extensions, then what these companies like Netflix or, you know, Hulu or whoever will do, or movie studios will do, is they will all write their own apps and their own applications to do this separate from web browsers,
mm-hmm.
and then it won't be
then
part of
then people won't use our web browser?
Yeah, then it won't be part of a web, you know, a web standard or an open web. You know, so they'll just leave the web and do it directly independently.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's my thought. Is why would you cede your own supposed moral authority or whatever?
They're already
and give
doing that, aren't they?
To this.
I mean, maybe within so, like, for instance, Mark, you mentioned that you have on PlayStation 3, you have a Netflix app or whatever, right? Like, you can go in there and you can watch your Netflix that way.
Well, I don't have Netflix. I have a Netflix app.
Amazon?
Amazon app, and I have a YouTube app, but I never use the Netflix app.
Okay, but anyway, my point was, you have an app which may or may not be behind the scenes using the HTML5 standards, or maybe programming their own things. So they already have their own apps. They can already do those things. So yeah, I agree with you. That doesn't make any sense as to why that would be their rationale.
I don't quite understand why they would back this either. It seems very strange. I mean, I can get more into the letter and maybe
if you think it's worth sharing, I mean,
I do some of it. Yeah. So
go ahead, please.
He goes on to say, when it became clear following our formal objection,
this is the EFF's Cory Doctorow.
Yes. That the W3C's largest corporate members and leadership were wedded to this project despite strong discontent from within the W3 membership and staff, their most important partners, and other supporters of the open web, we proposed a compromise. We agreed to stand down regarding the EME standards, provided that the W3C extend its existing IPR policies to deter members from, and this is intellectual property rights, IPR.
Okay, I was going to ask what IPR was. Thank you for that.
Extend its existing intellectual property rights policies to deter members from using the DRM laws in connection with the EME.
DRM is what again?
Digital rights management.
Okay, sorry.
So it's essentially, it's software enforcement of intellectual property rights is what DRM is.
Okay.
So it's
we're going to let you play this thing once or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't
just
know what
different
the
rules. I mean, sometimes like Sony had the whole thing back in the days where they installed a rootkit. They took over your computer. They hacked your computer if you put a Sony Music CD or whatever in your computer. You know, because they built software in to just take over and hack your computer, which left it open to all sorts of nasty security vulnerabilities because they just decided, we want to have control over your computer so that you can't copy this music.
Jeez.
So we're just going to hack your computer. It's like, okay, so they had all sorts of problems with that. Well, they're saying here that they're agreeing to stand down if this, so that basically, they're basically saying as long as researchers are allowed to. I mean, I can
explain.
Yeah,
I want you to explain what's going on there. Coming up here, you can bring up what you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. What was the compromise that they were asking for that they ultimately did not get?
Yeah.
More on the way here. This is Free Talk Live. Corporate control of the web. It's happening.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a SolarC EMP-hardened solar generator. SolarC works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now.
This is an advertisement paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. Take control of the airwaves here. We're talking a little bit of tech. The World Wide Web Consortium, the W3C group, now fracturing apart. The EFF has walked from the organization, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, one of the more pro-liberty, pro-freedom of speech groups on the World Wide Web. You can join us here. Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. We'll tell you what that split is all about. We're going to continue that discussion, 855-450-3733, and why it matters. You know, why this is something that anybody listening who, you know, uses the internet should be concerned with. If you don't use the internet, then, well, you don't really, you probably aren't that interested in the discussion. But a lot of people are using the internet these days. So if you are online and you want to help build a better financial system for everyone, you ought to join Dash. Dash is digital cash. It's a digital money platform designed to replace cash and help people manage their own wealth. It's fast, it can be private and easy, fees are low and transactions are quick and can be confirmed instantly. You can pay anyone, anywhere in the world, anytime for just pennies on the dollar. And Dash is decentralized and run by users who earn rewards for helping run the network and make governance decisions. Anyone can invest in Dash and earn rewards for helping run the Dash network. You can join Dash and help create a better financial system for everyone. Take back control over your financial future today and find out more at Dash.org. There's a lot of momentum behind Dash right now. Go to Dash.org and find out why. And, Mark, you had some good news. I think it was last night that the Dashers, the master nodes, have voted in favor of continuing to sponsor Free Talk Live. Which is awesome news, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, we've been happy to have Dash as an advertiser, and we're going to continue to promote Dash. I think it's better tech than Bitcoin. You know,
it is, and there's got to be something out there to compete with Bitcoin at the merchant level, and that's what they're working towards doing is creating a cryptocurrency that is easy for people to get into. I mean, it's easier than ever to get into cryptocurrency, but there's still a learning curve. It's still a difficult, you know, it's still a task to get people signed up for it. I just got a new business here in town, and Keene signed up for BitPay today. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they only accept Bitcoin at BitPay, but maybe that's going to change in the future, or maybe some new upstarts are going to come out that are going to offer Dash. I know that there's some stuff being worked on behind the scenes that we can't really talk about yet. But anyway, go learn more at Dash.org and check out DashForceNews.com for some of the latest from the Dash world. Now, we were talking about the other side of the web. The previous two cryptocurrencies, there was just the World Wide Web, and that was one of the myriad of internet protocols out there. Became arguably the most popular of them. You know, there's IRC chat, there's FTP file transfer protocol. These are some of the originals back in the day. But the web is what really took off. The web's what really, you know, that's what everybody uses these days. And now all browsers are HTML5 compatible. That's the standards that have been set by
the hypertext media language and the hypertext transfer protocol.
Thank you for that. I wouldn't have been able to remember what HTML stood for. And the W3C, which stands for the World Wide Web Consortium, is the organization that comes up with those standards. And now there's been a split in the W3C over people arguing over this encryption, which the W3C is now signing on to help corporations have a set of standards that they can use to have secretive code embedded on their websites that is then run by your browser, and you don't know and you can't know what that code is and what it does. And that has a lot of people who care about internet freedom, internet openness, has a lot of them up in arms, and that's why the EFF has walked from the organization.
So let me say this little complicated bit and then go into how they kind of explain it here. So they say, we agreed to stand down regarding the EMA standard, provided that the W3C extend its existing intellectual property rights policies to deter members from using digital rights management laws in connection with the EME, such as Section 2...
Too many acronyms.
The DMCA, you know, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. Yeah. Well, that can be used to enforce these copyright things. And there's also the European National Implementations of what's called the UEC, the EUCD, which is like their Digital Millennium Copyrights Act, right? So they have their own version in Europe.
Okay,
so
what about the DMCA?
They're saying stand down, right? Don't use those DRM laws except in combination with another cause of action. So in other words, they're saying we'll stand down regarding this EME standard.
Meaning we'll let you, we'll not oppose this new encrypted secretive thing.
As long as you extend your intellectual property rights to say, we're not going to enforce DRM laws unless there's another cause of action here. So, to explain, and this is written in the letter, it says, this covenant would allow the W3C's large corporate members to enforce their copyrights. Indeed, it would keep intact every legal right which entertainment companies, DRM vendors, and their business partners can otherwise lay claim. The compromise merely restricted their ability to use the W3C's DRM to shut down legitimate activities like research and modifications that required circumvention of DRM. In other words, there's a need to get around these software digital rights managements in order to do research and security and like redevelop these things and whatnot. And you don't want to see, you know, legal people who are using these things legally to be imprisoned and to go to jail. So this happens a lot. This happens, unfortunately, like an unfortunate amount of time. So in computer security practices, where you'll have these security researchers, right, who are finding exploits and viruses and hacks in systems or whatever, things that can be used to hack into operating systems, and they do it. They have to do these things, right? They have to break into a computer system in order to see that there's an exploit there. This and what a white hat hacker does is they say, hey, here's this exploit. This is your system is vulnerable.
We found this problem.
We found this. Patch your browser. Patch your operating system. Fix this. And what happens if you're a white hat? You go to prison because these idiots in government and some of these companies go, well, you broke into our system. Well, yeah, they told you about it because they're a good person. They're what's called a white hat hacker. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that what a gray hat or a black hat, the people who want to use this stuff to exploit, will do is they don't tell anyone until they're exploiting it themselves or selling it on the market.
Right. A gray hat hacker would essentially take whatever information or valuables they managed to get from the hack and then tell the person who was hacked and then do whatever they wanted with the information. The black hat would
they might even tell the other person. So,
Well, I mean,
what would the black hat do then?
The black hat would just take the stuff and do whatever they wanted.
Yeah,
without,
or sell it and exploit it.
Advising of the exploit. What this is the government or whatever large corporation participating in kill the messenger syndrome. Somebody found a hack in our system. Let's punish that person who found the hack.
Which will disincentivize that kind of thing,
right.
Which will mean that more people will be able to take advantage. So let me see if I've got this straight here, Johnson. You got a situation where there's this secretive code thing that they want to put forward to allow the companies to run secret code on your web browser.
Right.
Cory Doctorow of the EFF is saying, hey, we'd be okay if you just allowed us to have the ability to sort of decompile this and look at it because research, because we need to be able to do this for the good of the web, for the safety of people. But they didn't get that, and I presume the argument against it would be, well, if you can just decompile it or whatever, then you can break our DRM and rights, copyright, we should have total
control. Of course, the DRM is going to be broken anyway, because the decryption has to be built into this thing. So as soon as
somebody's going to access
eventually
that.
It's going to get reverse engineered, and it's going to be broken.
Yeah.
And it probably will happen very, very quickly, like every other time DRM has been tried. So they just are wasting their time, and I mean, it just doesn't even make sense. And they are also alienating people who have, a moral and, a moral compass and sort of the people who are responsible for making the web.
But, Johnson, if we can't have secretive DRM, digital rights management, and secret code running, then somebody might be able to watch a movie more than once, or they might be able to share something with somebody on the web. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
It's the same old argument from these, multimedia conglomerates that, again, we talked about old dinosaur industries last night. This is them, again, trying to hold on. In the dinosaurs in the tar pits, right? They're holding on. They're trying to claw their way out of there. And we got to have our digital rights management. And I think this is definitely bad news. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. But the really big question is, where is this going to lead to? Is it going to lead, as you suggested earlier, to a split, to where there's going to be two different sets of standards? And what would that look like? Because it could be messy. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. You can join us here, and it's Free Talk Live. Have you wanted to get into Bitcoin mining but don't want to deal with the hassle and frustration of operating the mining hardware? Let pool.bitcoin.com handle it for you like I did. Just visit pool.bitcoin.com and use their calculator to estimate what you could end up making. You get to decide which Bitcoin you want to mine. If you already have mining equipment, you're invited to join pool.bitcoin.com. Get all the details and get started mining Bitcoin at pool.bitcoin.com.
When I get to about 3/4,
when I get down to the bottom,
a couple more scoops,
it's time to place my order.
Dynavite.com.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of Super Mega fish oil free.
Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Mega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
It's working. Don't quit. Dynavite.com.
With nearly 70 years of history engineering bunkers, today, Atlas Survival Shelters is still the authority. Atlas offers 18 different choices, from commercial tornado shelters to underground nuclear fallout shelters, starting at just $99.99, with 100% financing available. Comfortable interiors and state-of-the-art air filtration systems. Atlas Survival Shelters are the most popular private survival shelters in the world. Call 1-855-4-BUNKER now or visit atlassurvivalshelters.com.
Dr. Carolyn Dean wants you to have a free chapter of her new book, The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition, and it's available at magmiracle.com. In your free chapter, Dr. Carolyn Dean explains how magnesium is essential to support the structure and function and overall health of your body. Your free chapter is your guide to learn how to support your heart, bone, metabolic, lung, and mental health with this powerful mineral. The Magnesium Miracle Second Edition is available on Amazon, but right now get a free chapter at magmiracle.com, spelled M-A-G-Miracle.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
the stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
You dial on in toll free, bring up whatever you want. Our number here is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We also have Skype, and you can Skype in here at Skype username lrn.fm. If you're listening to the show later on via podcast and you're tuning us in via iTunes or maybe Stitcher or one of these platforms where you can leave a rating, and you haven't left a rating for Free Talk Live, then please take just a moment.
Take the tenth of a calorie.
And is it just a tenth? I don't know. But click the stars of your, you know, preference. And if you have more than a little bit of a moment, then you can tap out a sentence or two about how you like the show or whatever. We'd appreciate it. It makes a difference because, you know, each one of these pieces of software has certain algorithms that are probably secret. And we don't know exactly how they pick which shows to feature. But
they're
not
in your browser and on your computer.
Right. But I suspect that they're picking based on the ratings that people give those shows. So please rate us and review us. Please, it makes a difference. We really appreciate it on iTunes and whatever those other platforms are, Stitcher. What are some of the more popular ones? It's like the bulk is iTunes. SoundCloud, I guess you can rate us on SoundCloud. I think
Spreaker, is that right?
I don't know if we're on Spreaker.
I know iHeartMedia.
Yep, we're on iHeartRadio. There might be ratings there. I'm not sure. So anyway, check that out, and we appreciate it. So we're talking about the W3C, the World Wide Web Consortium, this group of, you know, web people, corporations.
Sponsored for all the standards that make everything that you love about the Internet basically possible.
Right, and now, unfortunately, they're going into a disturbing area where they're going to start protecting the so-called digital rights of certain, you know, corporations that have been lobbying the group to implement, essentially allowing these corporations to run potentially malicious code mm-hmm. on your computer through their websites loading on your system, and that there's no check and balance against that. There's no way to easily be able to see what is being run on your computer. Anyway, go on.
So the FF offered that compromise, and you know, it's basically said that it would signal to the world that W3C wanted to make a difference in how DRM was enforced.
Digital rights management.
Digital rights management. That it would use its authority to draw a line between the acceptability of digital rights management as an optional technology as opposed to an excuse to undermine legitimate research and innovation. More importantly, such a covenant would have helped to protect the key stakeholders, present and future, who both depend on the openness of the web and who actively work to protect its safety and universality. It would offer some legal clarity for those who bypass digital rights management to engage in security research and find defects that would endanger billions of web users. Because let's say one of these EMA things is somehow hacked or makes their web browser vulnerable. Next time you go to log into your bank, now a hacker's got access to all your bank details because of a buggy, terrible, extension that was automatically included into your browser.
That nobody can look into and find out about.
Right, and then just can be put up by any corporation that makes a mistake.
Right, and then you have to trust that same corporation to fix their problem with their own employees, and look at what happened with Equifax.
In the first place.
Look at what happened with Equifax. I mean, these guys just kept building problem on problem.
Yeah. So they say, or who could automate the creation of enhanced accessible video for people with disabilities, or who archive the web for posterity. It would help protect new market entrants intent on creating competitive, innovative products unimagined by the vendors locking down web video. Despite the support of the W3C members from many sectors, the leadership of the W3C rejected this compromise. The W3C leadership countered with proposals like the chartering of a non-binding discussion group on the policy questions that was not scheduled to report in until long after the EMA ship had sailed, that would have left researchers, governments, archives, and security experts unprotected. The W3C is a body that ostensibly operates on consensus. Nevertheless, as the coalition in support of digital rights management compromise grew and grew, and the large corporate members continued to reject any meaningful compromise, the W3 leadership persisted in treating this extended media or this encrypted media extensions as topic that could be decided by one side of the debate. In essence, the core of the EME proponents was able to impose its will on the consortium over the wishes of a sizable group of objectors and every person who uses the web. The director decided to personally override every single objection raised by the members, articulating several benefits that EME offered over the digital rights management that HTML5 had already made possible. But those benefits, such as improvements to accessibility and privacy, depend on the public being able to exercise rights they lose under digital rights management law, which meant that without compromising, the director was overriding, none of those benefits could be realized either. The rejection prompted the first appeal against the director in W3C history.
And according to that, the appeal, that failed. And the votes about that appeal were kept secret. This according to NetworkWorld.com, where it says here that the W3C will not be releasing details on the votes or any of the comments from their membership.
I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit to just skip to the part where he says, look, we'll keep fighting to keep the web free and open. We'll keep suing the U.S. government to overturn laws that make digital rights management so toxic, and we'll keep bringing that fight to the world's legislatures that are being misled by the U.S. Trade Representative to instigate local equivalents to America's legal mistakes. We will renew our work to battle the media companies that fail to adapt video for accessibility purposes, even like for blind and deaf and all that stuff, even though The W3C squandered a perfect moment to exact a promise to protect those who are doing that work for them. We will defend those who are put in harm's way for blowing the whistle on defects in the encrypted media extensions implementations. It is a tragedy that we will be doing that without our friends at the W3C and with the world believing that the pioneers and creators of the web no longer care about these matters.
Wow.
Effective today, the EFF is resigning from the W3C. Thank you, Cory Doctorow.
Damn.
Yeah,
they mad.
Yeah.
It's not just mad.
But it's not, I mean, within reason. I mean,
yeah,
it's despicable what they're doing. It's
well,
really
the corporations
despicable.
Have, you know, surprise, surprise, the big money corporations have taken over enough influence on the W3C to get their way, just like
I wonder
like
how long
Bitcoin.
It's going to come out that some of these people, you know, this vote was held in secret, and I wonder how long it's going to be before somebody figures out the results of this vote and who was paid off.
W3C said on Twitter, quote, although the option to share their vote publicly existed, none took it up. So, according to the story here at Network World, according to the W3C, the option was offered, but not a single member who voted on this elected to publicize their vote or their reasons for voting the way they did.
Nah, transparency.
Yeah. So, there you go. Quote,
well,
another...
I mean, the EFF is probably a member, right? So...
Yeah. Quote, we have explained several times that all members had the explicit option to make their vote public, said W3C. Another quote from them on Twitter. It's difficult to understand the confusion here, as has been said several times. There was a choice when voting to make the results public. So they've said over and over again, like, this is,
so
you know,
did
we're
they
not
vote
talking.
Not to make the make it public, because if they voted, then some people could have voted for it, and some people voted against, and then they
could
gave
have,
up
yeah.
a certain way.
We're not, they're not saying how it broke down.
What they're saying is that every member has the ability to make this information public, and no member chooses to.
I think the member would only be able to make their own vote public.
I right. see.
Yeah. Not the rest of it.
Yeah, it looks like the EFF made their own vote public.
So the EFF disagrees with W3C's claims. Cory Doctorow told the Network World Guide, the W3C did not, to my knowledge, ask members whether they'd be okay with having their votes disclosed in this latest poll, and if they had, EFF would certainly have been happy to have its vote in the public record. We feel this is a minimal step towards transparency in the standard setting that affects billions of users and will resound for decades to come. The W3C says they asked all members explicitly if they wanted to make the vote details public, but at least one member, that is the EFF, says that that did not happen.
I mean, the W3C has long been the go-to organization for individual web developers even to go and just, you know, as the set of standards. And them basically throwing their moral authority over the web in the garbage, which is what they did with this, with this vote, means that people are going to very quickly not use the W3C as the sort of standards body anymore. And that's really going to play out poorly, I think. But, you know, we'll have to see how
this is
going to play out.
Before they withdrew, Cory Doctorow said the W3C leadership actually censured the EFF, officially reprimanded sternly for publicly disclosing, quote, approximate proportions, unquote, of a vote. But yet, the W3C describes themselves as unprecedentedly open. That's their tagline, I guess. And yet they don't disclose critical data around their own decision-making process for new standards and censure members that even hit at the existence of those internal votes. Yikes. 855-450-FREE allows you to join us. This is Free Talk Live.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.